Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson, live from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. I am so thrilled to be sitting here with Holly McKissick today. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. You're making me feel so special.
Oh, well, no, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I want to give a little bit of background to the listeners about your Clemson experience and your experience in the MBA program. So can you just give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. Well, I am from Greenville, grew up here, born and raised. So I studied French and international trade at Clemson in undergrad. So I got to choose Clemson twice, which is really great. I have always kind of been a little bit of a Francophile, and I know we'll get into the international business program later, but decided to go to Clemson and pursue this passion of mine. And actually, I double majored in political science too, so I sort of strayed away from my original plan and moved to Washington, D.C. for my first job out of undergrad, and lived there for about 2.5 years, worked in political fundraising, had an awesome experience there. I loved what I was doing and learned a lot, met a lot of amazing people. And it was very stimulating being in our nation's capital. But I had this kind of nagging feeling, probably after the first year and a half, that I wasn't really following my passion. Even though I was enjoying what I was doing, I didn't really see myself there long term. And I always knew that Clemson had an MBA program, especially, I mean, it was growing and getting a lot of success in recent years. And so I, you know, always kind of thought that I would go back and do that after working for a couple years. And so that's what I did after, I think, 2.5 years, came back and pursued the Clemson MBA MIB dual degree program.
So tell us a little bit about how you chose to do that dual degree. So obviously you came here as an MBA student for a year, and then that's a little bit of a leap of faith to leave the country, go to Paris for a year to do your master's in international business. How did you make that decision, and really what were the motivators behind it?
Well, like I said, I studied French and international trade and somehow had this kind of innate interest in foreign cultures, especially France. I'm not really sure why. It probably started with my high school French teacher, actually, Virginie Mitchell. She is the first person who really taught me French, and so I had a good foundation there with the language and just kind of an interest in France in general. But I also knew that I loved Greenville, and I loved the fact that Clemson had this MBA campus in Greenville, professional setting. I felt like I needed to take my skills further. I'd studied, you know, international business before, political science, had a little bit of that work experience, but I felt like all of that could be polished and just taken to the next level by coming back and doing the MBA. And then the dual degree program, being here in Greenville for a year and then taking a year in Paris, for me, that was like a dream come true to go back to school, study. And you're right, it was kind of a leap of faith because in a way, I was starting over. I was making a total career shift, kind of starting back, not from ground zero, because, you know, I was taking more advanced courses than I was before, but in a way sort of taking a professional step back to kind of say, okay, what do I want to do now? What am I going to do with this new degree, with the, you know, that dynamic kind of double degree aspect? So, It wasn't too scary to go off and do that. And I had four other Clemson students or three other Clemson students with me. So we were all kind of in it together. It was a fun leap of faith.
Well, good. So from an academic standpoint, how did the Clemson MBA prepare you for your time abroad for a year?
That is a great question. And I'm really glad you brought it up because we really did get just a really solid core foundation here at Clemson. With accounting and econ, finance. I mean, they were hard, demanding classes, and they required us, you know, to do group work and presentations, and It was definitely challenging, but I'm so glad that we did that before, because it was clear once we were in the classroom at ESEG, the school in France, that we were the most prepared out of anyone in the program. And it wasn't like we were repeating those courses there. They still brought this kind of international element to it, and there was the whole aspect of working with international students. I think we had 60 students in the program there. There were only 5 Americans, so there were the 4 Clemson students and then 1 girl from California. And it definitely, that was a value add there, but the courses there academically were not too challenging for us because we had already learned a lot of those fundamentals here at Clemson.
That's amazing to hear. And it's also amazing to hear what a global experience it was for you, that you weren't just thrown into classes in Paris with a bunch of Americans, that you actually had a cohort of people from all across the world. So tell us a little bit about that and maybe some takeaways that you learned from just working with people and meeting people from different parts of the world.
That aspect of it probably is what I was personally, that's probably what taught me the most from the program, was because we had so many different classes all day, every day, and a lot of group work. I mean, we had at least 1 or 2 group projects for every class. So that involved a great deal of collaboration and patience dealing with, language barriers, because as the Americans, we didn't have any English or other folks from the UK in our program. We were the only native speakers. So people kind of relied on us to sort of make sure our presentations were correct and our papers, group projects, everything. We were kind of looked up to for that in that way, just from an English standpoint. But also, I think that kind of gave us an opportunity to lead in our group projects, which was really, really valuable.
So all of the classes in Paris were offered in English, correct?
Yes.
But you still got to learn a lot of French and be able to use a lot of your French language while you're over there. So tell us a little bit about that and how it kind of grew for you actually being in the setting.
That's a great point, too, because our classes were taught in English, but for the first semester, we were all required to take French courses, which I think is really important because in France and in, any foreign country you visit, it's really important to try at least make an effort to adopt some of the culture yourself. And that's the first and most obvious way to do that is through the language. Even if you can't speak it fluently, just, going to a grocery store, a market or a restaurant and knowing a few basic words and being able to form a few sentences shows them that you're trying and that you're not just expecting or entitled, for them to adapt to you, because you are in their culture. And I think France especially has, a national pride, as they should, for their culture and language. But it can be kind of a tough kind of crust to break.
Sure.
But if you have that language, that's kind of what gets you in.
So this is going to be a really tough question, but what was the best part about living in Paris?
Oh, gosh, that is a tough question. The first thought that comes to mind is probably the cuisine. I mean, the food and wine there is just incredible. But
you're making us very jealous right now.
Oh, my gosh. It was hard to stay in shape there because of all the food opportunities. And, the students, we would all get together and go out to dinner a lot. So that was really fun. But another thing that just came to mind was witnessing France win the World Cup while we were there was amazing. I mean, and the opportunity of a lifetime. Because soccer, or football there is just such a huge culture anyway, but having that World Cup taking place while we were there, we started kind of getting into it and going to bars and watching the games. And then to see France win, it was unlike, it's not quite like being at a Clemson football game, but it's pretty darn close. I mean, really, really, really special to see that part of the culture and just the excitement of it.
That's amazing. So tell us a little bit about your experiences over there interning. So a little birdie told me you got a really great internship opportunity while you were over there, and I'd love for you to tell everybody what you were doing.
Sure. So the internship that I did was with L'Oreal, and it was called the HR Internpreneurs Program, which I saw the job job description and thought that was kind of interesting how they were branding this human resources internship as kind of an entrepreneurial program. And it was a program, so there were lots of people that could apply. This wasn't just one particular job. But just having the, I read the job description, and it had a lot about creativity and autonomy, collaboration. And even though I wasn't really planning on going into human resources, I thought that looks like something I want to be a part of. And with L'Oreal, it's a great big company. So I applied, and I was working in the learning department within human resources. So what that means is I was kind of organizing and coordinating leadership training programs, development, language courses for our population, which was human resources. So we were like human resources for HR. It was kind of, at first I thought, okay, this is a little bit removed from the actual business of L'Oreal, like the makeup and shampoo and products they make, but it was super, it was just a really great opportunity for me because I was using my language every day. I was using the tools that I learned in school, like authentic leadership, intercultural management, because my team there was also very diverse. So having that experience, with the group work in class with different cultures, I mean, my manager, basically everybody was my manager, but I mean, I had Brazilians, Turkish people, Chinese people, French people, all on my team, Lebanese. Cool. So it was really amazing getting to work in that kind of setting. It was a good mix, this internship, between kind of nitty-gritty operational kind of thankless job tasks that interns kind of innately have to do, but also some project-based things where I could, see something through to completion. It was a really good, tough, challenging experience, but I loved it.
Well, and I commend you for that because I'm sure it was challenging and tough, but the fact that you not only studied abroad, but you worked abroad in an internship opportunity like that, I mean, speaks volumes to the leaps and bounds of how far your career is going to go. Just me working with employers, I hear, we're looking for international, international perspective, global perspective, and communication skills. Well, it sounds like this internship was a perfect way to get both. So tell me a little bit about HR. You said HR wasn't exactly the focus, but it ended up being really what you found you're passionate about. So what is it about HR that really speaks to you, that you enjoy?
Well, I think, it's not that I had counted HR out. I think I just didn't have exposure to it before. I mean, we do have an organizational behavior class here in the MBA program, and then we had an international human resource management class at ESEG. But other than those two classes, that was it. And I think I found in human resources that and it's going to sound cliche, but I just really enjoyed working with people and helping people. One of my roles in this internship was helping with onboarding. So I got to interface with all these new employees that arrived on our campus every month. And even though I was an intern and I was new too, after a couple months, I felt like I was welcoming them to the group, even though it wasn't really my place yet to do that. Like, welcome to L'Oreal. And I'm like still trying to get in myself. But it was really great just kind of helping just little parts of their career path. And that's what I would say. There's so many different aspects of human resources too. I mean, it's not just payroll and benefits. I mean, now with all the digitization of everything, and there's a lot of innovations coming to human resources, and it may sound like, I don't know, I just think now it's a really transformative time for HR, and that the changes that come to this field are going to be, unbelievable over the next several years.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
So what's next for you?
So next for me, actually just found out a couple weeks ago, I'm really excited about this. I'm going to be moving to New York City to L'Oreal's U.S. headquarters for a job in HR communications there.
That's very exciting. So tell us a little bit more about the job. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited. It felt like it was a long time coming because I could see right off the bat that I really liked this company, and I was hoping to stay in some capacity, whether it was in France or back in the U.S., I really was hoping to stay. So I worked really hard to try to treat every little thing that I did as an evaluation. I felt like I was being watched all the time, which probably sounds paranoid and extreme, but I think it's kind of what you have to do when you're doing an internship at a company where you want to stay. So there's at L'Oreal, they do a mid-internship interview and then a final interview where you kind of touch base with your managers and talk about what you've done so far and what your goals are for the future. And at my final interview, I told them that I really wanted to stay and hoped that there might be an opportunity for me, and was very happy to hear that it was reciprocal. But they didn't have a job for me right away. They said, we have this opportunity that might be of interest to you in New York. But you know, we were approaching the holidays. It was, you know, Christmas was just around the corner. And they said, if you can be patient for a little while, you know, it may not work, no guarantees. But so it was a little scary leaving France and moving everything back here. But the interview process continued, and luckily it came through. So I'm really, really happy about that. And the job in New York, the HR communications manager role, it's I'll probably have a better answer for this once I get started. But from what I understand, they're trying to bring a more strategic approach with how they share information with employees across the U.S. because there's L'Oreal employees all over the country. We're headquartered in New York, and the way they, I guess, communicate with employees could be improved. So hoping to bring some strategic moves to how they do that.
That's very exciting. And I think it's a great story, too, because really it's the dream to get an internship and turn that into a full-time job. So what advice would you give other young professionals that might be in your same situation about being able to maybe transform that internship into a full-time opportunity?
I would say, like as I said earlier, treating every day as kind of a performance, you know, really bringing your A game every day, trying to do the best you can. That probably goes without saying, but another big thing that's important, especially at L'Oreal and probably at every company, is networking. And I used every opportunity I could to expand on the people that I knew, not just my team, but others in the company. L'Oreal is kind of particular in this way, where they have this déjeuner, which is French for lunch, and lunch there is like this sacred thing. You send people Outlook invitations for lunch, and you can do that for people that you don't even know if you just want to meet them and learn about their job, which is pretty – I feel like you would love that, Jamie.
I love it. I need to déjeuner here.
Déjeuner, that's the thing to do. But so I met a lot of people while I was in France, and even when I left, as I was kind of saying, yeah, I'm not really sure what my next step is, I had people there that were saying, well, if you need me to help, let me know. I'd be happy to, you know, push your resume on your behalf. So that was really helpful to know. And just be persistent too, because I did go through a period where I didn't know if this was going to work out or not. So just in the job search in general, I would say be persistent and don't take rejection personally, because I applied for a lot of jobs too, and faced some rejection. And it's just, it's important to stay positive and to keep trying and don't take it personally, because there's a lot of big companies too who are screening candidates with robots, and that can be a little disheartening. But I would say keep trying, work hard, network, and keep your connections warm, and just do your best.
Yeah, that's such great advice. Thank you for that. And so you've lived in Greenville, South Carolina. You've lived in Paris, France. Now you're moving to New York City. What are you most excited about?
Oh, that's a good question. I've kind of always had this dream of maybe one day trying to live in New York. So I still can't believe it's actually happening. I just, like I said, found this out a couple weeks ago. So it's becoming real. But I'm just excited about being in a really vibrant, high energy city, and meeting all the people that I'll meet at work, and just finally having a moment where I feel like my career is about to take off, mm-hmm. You know, because I worked, went back to school, interned, and now I feel like hopefully it takes off.
It will. What are you most proud of so far with everything that you've accomplished?
Let's see. I have to say I'm really, really proud of our Clemson group that did the MIB program. Mm-hmm. because so it was Mackenzie Cassidy, Jason Luciani, Jacob Kirby, and myself. And I really was impressed by the way we all as a group grew there and supported each other and figured things out, because Paris is amazing. It's a dream, but it's really not easy to start there and get settled. You know, even just like setting up a bank account is a hassle. But we supported each other, and we really, I think, performed well in class. I talked a little bit earlier about the group projects, but I was always really happy and kind of proud in my heart whenever a Clemson, one of us would, you know, do a great job making a presentation, helping another fellow student out. But we also, even though we kind of banded together in the beginning, we all kind of went our own way in France. Mm-hmm. We had our own friend groups, and, you know, if you interviewed one of them, they would have a totally different experience and a different story to tell. So I'm really proud of how we made it our own and made the most of the experience. And I think we left a really great legacy at ESEG for Clemson, for future students. And so, yeah.
Well, and thank you for doing that. And I think that that's such a testament to the Clemson family that you hear about and the culture that you hear at Clemson, and that you all have been so supportive of each other and really kind of advocating for each other and cheering each other on. And we love to see that from our perspective, too. So thanks for sharing that story with us.
Of course.
Holly, it's been so great to catch up with you and hear about this. And we wish you nothing but success going forward. And we can't wait to hopefully bring you back in a couple of years.
Oh, thank you so much.
And hear kind of where you are now with L'Oreal and what impact you've made. So we'll absolutely have to circle back with you at some point. But before we let you go, I want to ask you just a couple of fun questions,
okay,
if you don't mind.
Sounds good. Yes.
All right. Well, this one's not exactly funny, but I want to know what inspires you.
I would say what inspires me is seeing people that are really passionate about what they do. And that's been kind of a question I keep asking myself through this process when I have this opportunity to start over and find a new job, is what am I passionate about? And sometimes that's a really tough one to crack. But whenever I see people that are really passionate about what they do and that, you know, work hard and have energy that propels them to do a good job, that inspires me. I'm still trying to figure out what my passion, what my true passion really is. But I think I'm getting there. And if I surround myself by people that are passionate about what they do and being driven by their positive energy, I think that's a great place to start.
Beautiful. I love that. Are you a dog or a cat person?
That whenever I get that question, you know, I get kind of like, you know, I can't pick a side. I am 100% both a dog and a cat person. I love cats. And I actually got a chance to cat sit one of my friend's cats in Paris. She took her August vacation, which is very common to do in Europe, take the whole month off to travel. And so she did that, and I got to keep her cat. And yeah, I that's probably more information that you wanted to know, but both. I don't think I could pick one.
Okay. So you spent a year in Paris, so we have to ask, who's your favorite fashion designer? You were in kind of the mecca of fashion, and you're moving to New York, which is another mecca of fashion.
Oh,
so I want to know, who's your favorite designer?
I hope I'm stylish enough to move to New York. I would probably have to say Chanel. I mean, just classic French. I've always kind of loved Chanel silhouettes. And, you know, Chanel, like what she did for women in her time, she was a modern woman, and she changed the silhouettes for more practical, functional uses. She kind of pioneered the suntan. That was like not a thing before her. She's really great. And I think her, you know, it's goes without saying her that her style is timeless. And so definitely an aspirational brand for me, but
love it.
Gotta
love
go
it.
With Coco Chanel.
Perfect example. So orange or purple?
Orange.
Orange. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Without question. Yep.
Okay. Favorite book?
Favorite book. I've got a lot of favorites, but probably The Great Train Robbery, Michael Crichton. I had to read that in European history, I think, in 11th grade. Or no, maybe it was U.S. history. Sorry, you may have said that part. But that's a really great book, a great kind of adventure crime story.
Okay.
It's a really good one.
And what is your favorite show to binge watch?
Favorite show to binge watch? I recently binge watched Ozark.
Okay.
It's a really good show. Kind of about the dynamics of, it's kind of like a Breaking Bad. I also binge Breaking Bad, but it's kind of a similar story about a family and a classic Mexican drug cartels money laundering situation. It's just good TV.
Good. Best concert you've ever been to?
I think Garth Brooks.
Okay.
That was here in Greenville. I did that while I was in business school here, November of 2017.
Nice. That's a good Clemson MBA memory too.
Yes.
And that's my last question. What's your favorite Clemson memory?
Favorite?
In your years of undergrad and grad?
Oh, man. Gosh, there's so many good ones. Graduation is really special when you get to walk across the stage with your friends and undergrad and MBA graduation. But that's a really cool moment when you can shake the president's hand, get your degree. It kind of just like all those, you know, years and hours of studying, it finally just kind of, you get to breathe and it's over and you get your diploma. It's really great.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations. We wish you but success. We're so thrilled that you had the time to join us today in the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub before you jet off to New York and start your new life. But
thank you so much.
As you know, the Clemson family will always be here for you. And so please don't be a stranger. Keep us updated on how you're doing. And we'll be cheering for you.
Oh, thank you. I absolutely
and looking
will.
To hear how you're doing. So congratulations.
Thank you again. This has been so fun.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.